Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Thursday, July the 27th, 2023. And I have two special guests I'll announce in a moment. But I want people to take a look at my website under the breaking news column. There's the hearings on UFOs by our military pilots talking about it, how it's been secret all these years. This is the aliens, folks, the aliens that Professor Joe and I have talked about for the past year on several shows that we've done, the Galactic Federation, the Confederation. One's good and one's bad. The Air Force is the bad side. The Navy is the good side. And my friend John Lear's dad on Lear Jets built the flying saucers for the government secret under the 1952 to 2012 alien agreements registered with the NSA. And he built 150 flying saucers after selling Lear Jets to his partner in 1952, and he built these saucers between 52 and 59. We have the saucers in our arsenal. I've seen the saucers driving into Las Vegas, landing out there at S4, where they've got them parked. Now, a friend of mine, Ed Slade, was a U.S. scientist, and Ed worked at the alien base Papoose Lake, Nevada. It's not Groom Lake. It is not Area 51. It's called Papoose Lake. And I saw saucers with a BBC reporter after speaking out there at the little alien restaurant as a guest doing a speech. Jordan Maxwell was there, gave me some of his time the first time I was out there, etc. He knows about this stuff. But we drove out there, and the cameraman, his girlfriend, put the camera by accident in the little hotel room, these trailers. So nobody had any pictures because cell phones weren't around back then. But we saw about 15 saucers stair-stepped dropping in the hole at Papoose Lake, Nevada, where Ed Slade, the U.S. scientist, lived. Now, I want to mention this because I think it's important for people to understand. Ed Slade made a toy for him one time, Element 115, 116, 117, and 118, which is Napoleon. And in the Bible, I think it's in Proverbs, the Bible code, they've been looking for all these elements that are on the planet Earth. The aliens have. And we got 200,000 of them registered at the NSA. Now, Ed made this loaf of bread size toy, took it down to a pyramid, was sent down there north of Mexico City. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it would have been real busy with a lot of tourists and stuff. Nobody around except this Nordic looking 7 foot. A 6-inch tall alien that looks Nordic, human. He says, "You must be Ed Slade." He says, "Yeah, you must be so-and-so." He says, "Yeah." He said, "You bring me my toy?" He says, "Yeah," and he hands it to him. He said, "Now take it out there, set it down 50 yards. So he counted off 50 yards, set it down, turned around. He said, "Now come back here, Ed. I'll show you what you made me." Well, he goes back. He said, "Now turn around and face the toy you made me, this chunk of loaf-sized bread of metal." And he looks at it, and all of a sudden it turns into a flying saucer. He goes, "How'd you do that?" He says, "I thought it into a saucer, Ed." He said, "Now close your eyes, Ed, and stare over that direction." He says, "Start thinking it into a flying saucer." He turned it back into a loaf-sized chunk of bread. He says, "Stu, you can never tell the story until I'm after dead, because they would kill me if they knew that I told you this story." I said, "Okay." He starts thinking. Turn it into a flying saucer. He goes, "No, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. Ed, think this way. Think that way. Think this way. Oh, now, Ed, take a look at what you made. Here's a flying saucer." So he took him out into outer space to see the Earth and brought him back down. And then he turns it back into a loaf of bread and walks off. Now, they have that capability to read your mind. To read your mind, folks. Now, Super Spook, I mentioned this. Otis Johnson told me. In 2017, just before they murdered him, a couple weeks before, and you can hear a recording of it, put in 007 Otis Johnson. He was a true 007. There's all kinds of proof. He was part of the Glomar Explorer that picked up a nuclear submarine, Russian. He snuck into Russia and took pictures of their arsenal over there in the I forgot where it's at, but it was they domed it out with lead shields. Anyway, he went over there, took pictures, and escaped, ran for 6 days and six nights at 52 years of age, got into Iran, extracted him out, brought him back, debriefed him. He had a heart attack, first heart attack, because of 6 days and six nights, stealing bikes, stealing cars, stealing clothes, changing clothing where they couldn't identify him because they spotted him. He was part of a delegation of farmers, supposedly from Nebraska, going over there to do a trade mission, teach him how to grow certain foods and stuff like they were doing with us, but he escaped the delegation in Moscow. Now, Otis worked for General Flynn, and General Flynn got fired 2 weeks after Otis's murder, because I talked to Otis on his deathbed at the VA hospital in Omaha. I talked to him by phone. His son answered his cell phone and put it up to his ear, and he said, "Stu, they got me this time." He says, "I feel death coming." Then I called him next day. He says, "I can't talk." He says, I'm going into hiding." He had left there to go into hiding, and he ended up dying. Now, Otis was part of the NSA from his home on a computer. He worked that shift certain times at the night or the day. He talked to Russian Putin, President Putin, one time over the Syrian situation where we were gassing their people. And he told him, he says, because Otis spoke a fluent Russian, and he was on the NSA shift that took the phone call from the President Putin. He told him, he said, "If you gas Syria again or touch it," he says, "I'm going to drop a nuclear bomb in the Azar Fault off the coast of New York that will cause a tidal wave 1,800 feet tall from Maine all the way to Florida, and it will wipe out your civilization clear to the Mississippi River. 1,800 foot tidal wave." Now, we're in a situation, we're about ready to go to war, I believe, because Biden's pushing it and the whole bit, and has been with these Ukrainians. They are the fake Jews, the Khazars in the Ukraine. They're the ones that took over and occupied Israel. It wasn't even Israel. In 1947, they went in there and started flying the Israeli flag, and they killed 40,000 Palestinians. Those Palestinians are true Hebrew bloodline from ancient times. And there used to be a professor's video on my site, and it was on YouTube, and they yanked it down, where he got a study. He did the ones in the Ukraine, or in Israel. He said 92% of them do not have the true Hebrew bloodline, where the Palestinians have the true Hebrew bloodline, 92%. I just wanted to bring that up, but I want to bring up one other thing. Otis told me before his death they were looking through space-time, the CERN collider over in Switzerland. And the NSA said two stars sometime between 2021 and 2025 would smack planet Earth. That's Revelation 13, Wormwood and sister star. And he was born or raised a Christian. And he said, "Stu, if I knew what I had done, that I was doing in secret, was for this evil cabal, I would never have ever done it." He said that's how bad it was. They kept it that secret. You didn't even know what the heck you were doing half the time. But he says sometime before 2025, a fireball will come around the sun, six times the size of planet Earth, and will smack planet Earth. I said, it's the end of the world. He says, "You're right. That's what it is." So, folks, between now and 2025, the first part, we're going to be smacked with a big ball. We should get the two stars soon, very soon, in the next year or so. I mean, we're at 2023. We got less than two years to go. Now, the two guests I have on are both Christian women. I've had them on before. Charlene Renee, who has saved my life, a nurse, and Nicole Powers. And Nicole has a site called witnessspeaks.com. Now, I brought them on here for a reason together, and we're going to make it about a half an hour and less, and we're going to get off here because people have things to do today. But I want to introduce Charlene first. Charlene, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Stu. Thank you for having me on with Nicole. And Nicole, welcome to the Stu Web Show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
And Nicole, I'll let you go first here, and talk about what we did not talk about last Saturday on my program.
Thank you very much, Stu. First of all, I want to be very clear that we are in a battle for our very lives and our very souls, and I think it's very important that everyone give your life to Yeshua. You need to walk in truth and righteousness. And don't forget that Yeshua is your first love. And you have to do daily reflections of the words, of your words and your actions, to make sure they line up with His will. And we have to obey the commandments, and we have to spread the word, and we have to display our faith in truth. And we really have to have compassion for one another, the way Yeshua had compassion for his church. And we have to have an honest relationship with him still, because the price for us not to be honest with him and honest with ourselves, it's too great. And what I want to touch upon is the fact that how our health and our faith are so connected. I really believe that the reason why there are so many pollutants and so many things that bombard our system is all designed by Satan, by keeping us separated from God and also separated from each other. And I touched upon that with you earlier about the free radicals. And I do believe that is nothing more than a lower form of demonic being that wants to rob us of our health and also our connection to Yeshua and to our Heavenly Father. And this is important because our faith can be altered by the mere fact of us not being healthy. And I told you this before, that the more longevity we have, the more opportunity we can have to do God's will. And the other aspect of that is holiness. And we have to have what is called a hedge of protection. And that can only be established with around us if we obey God. And there are so many things out there that can hinder that hedge of protection. And we can operate out of ignorance when we don't, we're not educated enough about how we keep that head strong. It's just like your body has an immune system to protect you from disease. You also have an immune system with your spirit body. So with your immune system, when you rest, when you eat good nutrition, you drink plenty of water, you have a good mental health, you take supplements, and you meditate, and you self-regulate your system by doing good practices, this ensures that you do have a good immune system, and you can ward off diseases, just like if your healthy protection protects you from evil. So if we pray, if we read the Bible, we attend services, if we fix our minds on the positive aspects of our faith and we avoid sin, this is how we boost up our hedge of protection. And I think both systems can support each other in doing that. And I also wanted to throw out the topic of why was Jesus in the temple talking to the doctors? And I wonder, did he have any awareness? Because if he's God's son, he does know all things. And I wonder if he had that awareness to tell the doctors in the temple about free radicals and about the origins of disease and how the free radical does steal energy from us. And that's all I have for right now. So if you want to add any more, well, it would be greatly appreciated.
I know that Psalms 91 and 92 talk about angels of protection. And I'll tell you, I've had something this past week hit me, and I don't know what it was, but I talk to Jesus every day in my prayer, but I hadn't been asking for angels of protection, and some demonic activity occurred in the middle of the night, and it got thrown out the window. Enough said on that. I kicked it out the window.
Well, and I've got a Bible verse to go with that. It is Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
And we have that. I mean, look at if you look at a video, as an example, the Roman Catholic Church, you look at the Pope, it's a video I put up last week, it talks about the Vatican, It's an excellent video. This person that made this, it's a masterpiece. But it talks about the Black Pope, and I've known about him for a long time. They called him Clovenhoof, that died in 2004, I believe it was, around November. But he walked around with a goat's foot. He had a goat foot on him. Clovenhoof, they called him. They said he was the devil in human form, is what Otis told me. And he said that when he died, he said they got all these tunnels running from the UK over there to where the Vatican is and so forth, and that certain members of our government, I believe it was the Clintons at that time, president and his first, I call her Hildebeest, the lesbo, Hildebeest, Hillary Clinton, that they went over there to the UK and got in the tunnel car and went over to the Vatican to have him buried. But they've got the Black Pope now. That video is an excellent piece on how they've taken the Roman Catholic Church and turned it into a satanic whorehouse, I call it. And the same way with churches in America. I've seen a lot of Christians. We had a prayer group that we were doing in our home, and it was in another person's home, and there were about 10 of us coming together, and we were changing the headlines through prayer. We'd all bring something to eat and have a kind of a little smorgasbord of our own and be over there for 4 or 5 hours. And we would go into prayer about certain things, events in the country that were taking place, and we saw headlines changing things. Now, it's very important to be praying that everything's revealed about these Bidens, okay? Because what they have done is so treasonous. I mean, treasonous addition to the max. And now they got these punks like Senator Charles Schumer, who was compromised under Boulder Properties Limited deal. It was written about Iran-Contra whistleblower Al Martin, my friend, that I got his book published called The Conspirators. Anyway, it's in that book. There's an article. If you punch in Boulder Properties Limited on my search box and my website, it talks about how he was compromised. And I saw him shift and do completely the opposite. He works for this satanic cabal. He's controlled by the satanic cabal. And a whole bunch of them in Washington, D.C. is too. And I believe with the power of God, if people were praying against him, it would reveal who they are and what they are. We're down to the wire, folks. We don't have much time left here on planet Earth unless people really start praying heavily. And you look at number of people that are dropping dead from the COVID shot, which was a fake garbage. And you look at Bill Gates and what he has done in other countries, given these vaccinations long before this to children. He's killed over 1 million people. And Bill Gates is so rich, and he's walking around as a mass murderer. Fauci's walking around as a mass murderer because he's the one that created the COVID so-called virus. And it's been all over. I posted a lot on it. There's an alternative news station that I found that I didn't know existed. It's called NTDnews.com. NTDnews.com. You ought to look at that station. It's got a lot of vital information that's coming out. A lot of people are speaking out against them. And we all need to be speaking out. We need to wake them up because this press in America, Fox News and NBC and ABC and CNN, are all stooges for the New World Order. They're nothing but that. NTDnews.com. And then Eric Bowens on Newsmax, he puts out a lot of great stuff. And we need to be looking at this and open up your eyes to what's going on, because we're down to the wire. And if your soul's not right with God, you're going to perish. The bottom line. Now, Charlene, you want to pick it up?
Sure. They also have a NTD News app that you can put on your phone through Google Play. So you can go to the Google Play Store, and they have NTD Live TV and a breaking news. So you'll get notifications of breaking news. If you use your phone correctly, you know that Google Play has Google Play Protect, so that will protect your apps. If you use your phone correctly and you scan your apps, Google has got to protect your apps on your phone. And your provider has got to protect your phone. And so if you're with Verizon, you've got to make sure that you have Digital Secure. And if Digital Secure is not run every day, you make sure that you check it every day at a certain time. Make sure it scans every day to protect your phone. And then you make sure that Google Play scans every day to scan your apps, and you're pretty safe. So,
well, Charlene knows what she's talking about when it comes to computers and cell phones. Believe me, she has helped me tremendously. Because I'm being attacked with 816 phone calls, area code 816, 3, 4, 5 times a day, and I have to turn off my phone and pull the chip to get them off my phone. And I call it back and say, no longer in service. Other times it'd be busy. Other times they'll say, oh, this is United Health. This is United Health. I found out that they were screwing me over, folks. I had United Health, Lynnet, and WellCare. All fraudsters committing fraud against the government. They're under state and federal investigation right now, and it wasn't me that did it. It was somebody else within the government got it done.
But I just installed NTD News, and so they've got news, they've got programs, they've got Epic TV, they've got news and thoughts and music, life, and so that you can get your notifications. They've got a notification icon. They've got hot topics. They've got a really, really nice app you can put on your phone so that you won't miss all the breaking news. And I've watched NTD for a while now, and I really like it. And it's a really good place to go for news.
Yep. Now, we've got birth pains. I think both of you, Nicole and Charlene, would agree. Look at the extreme heat going on. We got 103 degree, 104 yesterday, with 110 on the index in Topeka, Kansas. That just doesn't happen. And I think Kansas City was sitting around 100 over there, 100 miles away to the east. But all across this country, they're burning up. Now, I talked to Professor Joe, and he's down in Arizona yesterday. He said it was running 120 degrees down there. He said it's just clobbering them. And they stopped all building permits in Phoenix, Arizona, because they're running out of water. So they won't allow any more homes to be built. And we got a heck of a lot of homeless in this country because of what's gone on. They're coming to the Midwest. They're saying Kansas City's being inundated and other places, and they can't get homes built fast enough. I wish I was still in the building business. I'd make a fortune again. But I'm not. I'm crippled. Broken neck and back from 3 assassination attempts between 2:10 and 2:11. And it ruined me. I still got a broken neck from it, broken vertebra. Now, that costs me the chiropractor every month as a result. But here's my point, is that they're trying to mass kill us with weather wars, as Otis said, when they hit Springfield, Missouri, and blew that place away several years back, 2006, I believe it was. And 8 out of 10 people were never accounted for, but yet they found paperwork from their homes clear over in St. Louis, 300 miles away or 350 miles away. He said it was going to continue. Then we saw Florida disappear down there in the Gulf, a whole city, 8 out of 10 people never accounted for. We're seeing this outbreak of all this heat and mass tornadoes. This is hard. Now, Dane Wigginton has a site called geoengineeringwatch.org. I know him. Gene Chip Tatum and I used to have him on as one of our hosts when we had a little network called Veterans Truth Network we had together before Tatum decided to cut a deal with the government again, make his kid legal and all the other, and I dropped it and started doing my own. But Dane Wigginton has some excellent videos up there, and I put them up on my site this past couple weeks. You just scroll down and you can see them. But that's what we're in. They can move the jet stream. They're doing it. And the jet stream, I'd never seen it. I've seen it drop since 2006 because of Otis and others telling me they had dropped it. But this is the first time about 2 weeks ago I saw one jet stream coming from the east off the Gulf and coming up north, and it was shooting on the east side or the west side of Kansas City. Then there was another jet stream coming down, and it was going south, and it turns and moves to the west. going west, or yes, going west. And I said, oh my God, two different jet streams, one going north, one coming south. And we had 90 mile an hour straight line winds and rain hit Topeka and over between Topeka and Kansas City. 90 mile an hour straight line winds as a result of that. They are moving this thing around. They're killing crop. The heat's to kill the food. Charlene, how many of these food facilities have been burned down now? 20 or more storage facilities?
I don't know. I was keeping up with that. I know it's been a lot.
Been a lot of them. And now they're talking about the food supply and the food crop going to be killed out. And heat especially is going to wipe it out. And the oceans have heated up that they've never seen in years. I mean, you know, there's been times in history, but this is all intentionally designed to kill off mankind. And we're hearing more and more and more deaths of people, especially athletes, who took the vaccination, and all of a sudden they're having heart attacks and dying. It's because their blood's turning so thick it won't pass through their heart, and they're having heart attacks as a result of it. It's almost like having motor oil in your veins. Now, I'm going to ask you, Nicole.
Yes?
You're a witness for God, and I know Charlene is also. And I know you're both saved, and God, you know, you got the Holy Spirit. Now, your father worked for the FCC, Federal Communication Corporation, right? .gov?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't you tell me it was in the late 80s or early 90s that they had self-driving cars that he rode around Washington in?
Well, I think where he was like the place that I told you about where he did the viewing of the HDTV. So he didn't tell me when he did do it. He didn't tell me the date. I mean, he just told me, yes, I've driven in one. That's what he told me.
Okay.
But I don't know where this place was. I don't know whether he was out and about in the streets of Washington, but it had to have been a secure area where it wasn't open to the general public, like the facility that I drove him to in Alexandria, Virginia. But he did tell me about a lot of technology, because he told me about how cell phones would be called supercomputers, and how that the Apple computer that I was at in my home, in my library, he said to me that one day the computer could fit in the palm of your hands, and everything you can do on the computer, you'll be able to do on your phone. And I thought he was making things up. I said, how is that possible to have all that machinery? Because you got that big, the hard drive, and how do you have all that that can fit in the palm of your hand? And then he told me about YouTube before YouTube was on the computer, because we didn't have the internet as we know it. The internet didn't come out until later. The Apple computer was just word processing.
Now, he was an educated man, so was your mother. Your mother had a GS-14 rating with another government agency, and your father had a 13 with the FCC. Mm-hmm. Now, he was an electrical engineer, so he was doing things. This shows the technology, folks, that far in advance. I mean, we got technology that is hidden from us. It's 100 years more advanced than what we are.
Yeah, because when it comes to us, it's already old. It's already old. It's outdated.
It's out there.
Yeah, it's outdated. We have the the stuff that's really ancient right now. You're right. They got stuff far, far, far advanced.
Yep, we got a lot of problems. Now, anything else you want to add, Nicole or Charlene?
No, I can think of Stu. No, I
don't have anything either. I'm just grateful that I got in touch with you, and this is very, it's a life-affirming event for me, because now I know, thanks to Charlene, I know my true purpose. I know what I need to do for God's kingdom. And I'm very grateful to meet the both of you, and I want to say thank you.
Well, I'm grateful for meeting you as well. And I'm grateful for meeting Charlene a few years back. But with that said, any last words, Charlene, in closing?
Well, Stu, once Nicole's eyes are open a little more as to her knowing her true purpose and her seeing that she is a beautiful crystal child on this earth, I want us to do a show on that, and I want more crystal children to come forward, and we need to band together and be a light in the world.
Now you've got a speech you're gonna do, without getting into it, where it's gonna be, but it's a church. And
it
I want you, Charlene, to tell everybody what happened when you were a kid at 7 years of age and a preacher wouldn't baptize you.
Well, when I was a little girl, I was old enough to talk, and my sister was going to church, and so she was in choir, so I started singing because she was singing. So I was in choir. They put me in choir. And so I was singing more than I was talking. And so as I started growing, I was singing more. And I was learning about the Bible, and I was learning hymns, and I loved being in church. And I didn't want to be anywhere but church. And I just wanted to learn more about Jesus. And I wanted to learn more about God and the Bible. And I wanted to be there. If the doors were open, I wanted to be there. And I wanted to learn. And as a lot of other kids, they just wanted to go play. And they wanted to do other things. But I was disabled. I had a vision disability. So I was just a little different. I was a different kind of child. I wanted to know more about God, and I wanted to sing. I had a talent, and so that's what I was about when I was a child. And
you tried to get the
a lot of children who are crystal children have a talent, and they are drawn to learn more about God. So as I grew up in church, one day it was Easter Sunday, and I was sitting in church, and as I heard sermon, my heart broke for Jesus, and I had become a Christian, and I cried and I cried and I cried, and my aunt was sitting next to me, and she said, "Oh, darling, why are you crying? What's hurt? Are you hurting?" And I was just so hurt. My heart was broken. It was nothing hurt on my body. My heart was broken for Christ. And I had become a Christian. And I wanted to be baptized. And so at the end of the sermon, I went up with everybody else, all the adults, and I wanted to be baptized. But I was so small for my age. I was wearing a little size 3 dress, and I was 7 years old. I was so small for my age. And the preacher looked at me, and he just shook his head. He said, "You're too little." He said, "Renee, you're too little. You can't be baptized." So I waited and I waited, and he never would baptize me right on up until we moved away. I was 11 years old, and I was still begging him, "Please baptize me, please, please baptize me," and he never would do it. And so we finally moved a little closer to the North Carolina line here in Virginia, and so when I got older, I found a Baptist church, and I did get baptized, but it was not in a good church. The church had a covenant, and in order to be baptized, you had to sign a covenant with the church, and it was, well, if you sign and you'll become a member, and you'll get a burial plot, and you'll be able to make decisions in the church during church meetings and this and that and on and on. And it will be a covenant with the church. And you will have certain rules to go by. This had nothing to do with your walk with Christ. And I questioned it, and I said, I'm concerned that this is not about my walk with Christ. This is all about the church, and it's not about my, it is not about my baptism. Why am I signing this? And they said, oh, it's old, and it was when the church started, and people needed to help the church, and in order to get baptized, they had to do certain things to make the church work. So I wanted so bad to be baptized that I went on and signed this covenant with the church. And I was so upset that I had done that, but I knew my heart was in the right place. And it was so funny that in all those years, that those people were very upset in that church, and they had signed that same covenant, and they sit in that church, and they were miserable. Well, here I come along, and I had wanted to be baptized, and my heart was in the right place, and I knew theirs wasn't, but I did what I thought was right, and I kept praying about it, and so I had finally gotten baptized, but I kept praying about it, because I knew things weren't right, and I watched that church split. The people who knew that things were not right, like I knew, they left the church, and the people who were all about that covenant with the church, they stayed. So it was about 25 older people that stayed in the church, and the rest of the people left. So the church split. And so I went with the other people. And then later I went back and I tried to figure what went wrong, you know. And so then I decided, well, it's no place for me. It's really no place for me. I had gotten baptized. And then later I found a church and I was rebaptized. And this time it was done correctly. And I was very happy. And this is the church that I'm going to speak at on Sunday.
No.
And this preacher was a Pentecostal preacher, and he was very nice, and there was no paper to sign, and there was no church covenant. It was all about my walk with Christ, and that was the correct baptism. It was the right way, and that's the way it was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be about the four walls in the church, or a plot, or a membership, or all about coming to meetings and you can make decisions. It was supposed to be about my walk with Christ and my Father in heaven, and being a new person. Once you come up out of that water, you are a new babe in Christ. That's what being baptized is all about.
That's right.
Not about the four walls of the church and being having a burial plot. It's not about that. And that's what the other church was all about. So when I got baptized the second time, it was done the right way. Well, and that's what my speech is going to be about in the church that I was baptized in.
Now, this is coming up Sunday. Now, I was baptized three different times. Once when I was about 8. And then I was baptized again when I married Witch Doctor, before I married her. She was even baptized. And here she was a Jew, and she didn't believe in Christ. She was raised in a satanic family. Her father was a fallen angel, Leonard Melman, the whole bit. It owned Silverado. All the evidence is up there. Here was the deal. I got baptized in a hot tub in Colorado a third time. 2 weeks before, Ross Perot's sting operation, as a result of me, M&L Business Machines, nailed Millman for $80 million. He's the guy that took over for him, the fallen angel possessed Larry Mizell in Denver today, that owns the largest bank in the world HSBC Bank, inherited from Milman. This is the Meyer Lansky, Leonard Milman, Larry Mizell Jewish Crime Syndicate that controls the politicians and controls 95%+ of the U.S. economy through their 400 men. Now, they own the largest bank in the world, the HSBC Bank, through Great West Life out of Denver. And they also own BlackRock, Blackstone, which is drug money from Iran-Contra involving the Clintons and the Bushes and everybody, laundered through Silverado, Neil Bush, director of the president's son, Daddy Bush. And they own the U.S. Treasury now, folks. BlackRock, Blackstone's the largest bank in the United States. They have that much control, these evil people. But Ross Perot stung him. He nailed him for me, his Office of Naval Intelligence. I was talking when I was hiding from the FBI when they were trying to lock me up as a political prisoner for causing the national scandals I caused as a whistleblower. Four of them back-to-back, the Denver airport, the Keating Five, the HUD scandal, and Silverado. And I've even had Bill Black to close down Silverado, University of Missouri, Kansas City, professor on. If you go under Breaking News, you can hear the last audio I did with him. He talked about the fact they couldn't do their job and they were all pushed out of government. And this is after he closed it down. But Milman got fined $80 million. Mizell got fined $10 million. Brownstein, Norman Brownstein, the two attorneys that Milman hired in 72 to become his attorneys. One, he put an apartment building business. That was Mizell that took over for him. Fallen angel possessed. Jumps in one to another. And Brownstein, 3 years out of law school, working for Milman, becomes the head CIA director, Daddy Bush, in 1975. He becomes his lead counsel. And guess who the ace was underneath him? Bill Barr. Bill Barr. Trump's former attorney general, Bill Barr, the one that's turned against Donald Trump now and the whole bit. He was one of the six CIA counsel, they called him, Natoli, Brownstein, etc. He worked for them and the whole bit, committing all the fraud. And that's where the first mortgage fraud started coming up that ended up bank bailout 2008, creation of mortgages that didn't exist. They were doing it back in 1975 out there in Colorado. Anyway, it's a long story, but things, all of a sudden, they all get fined. And I went to the grand jury with a subpoena in hand and kicked out of there by two FBI clowns, told to leave the premises or I would be arrested and put back in jail again. I had to leave the U.S. courthouse. The next day it was shut down by Kaufman, a U.S. attorney out of Washington, D.C., where they covered it all up. And he sealed 150 people had received bribes. Federal FBI agents, DEA agents, ATF agents, congressmen, senators, prosecutors, U.S. attorneys, the whole bit, received bribes. The only one that got nailed was Mayor Federico Pena, who had been mayor of Denver, took a $2.5 million bribe from Phil Wynn, the HUD scamster, which got a sealed case and a presidential pardon later, and never went to jail. They controlled 500,000 apartment units they had taken since 72 out of the government, never putting money into them, building as fast as they could do. He was the one that bribed Pena for the Denver airport fraud vote. And then they made him Secretary of Transportation. Then they moved him up Secretary of Department of Energy. And he was under indictment, so he had to resign. And he was fined, listen to this, he got a $2.5 million bribe and he got to keep $1.5 million of it that he had spent. He had $1 million left, they fined him $1 million. Then Larry Mizell, that got fined $10 million, and Norman Brownstein go meet with Barack Obama before he leaves the White House, and they gave him a $2.5 billion contribution so he could build his $100 million presidential library up there near Chicago. And 3 days later, John McCain and others announced something to do with an abortion law or something that they passed. They were waiting for Barack Obama to accept a bribe from the two before they would pass a couple votes, and that's what they did. This is how criminal your government is. It's bad, folks. You need to pray against it. You need to destroy it because the power of prayer does miracles. And it was that baptism.
It does.
I know it was that baptism 2 weeks before is what stung Millman. $80 million fine. He never went to jail. And Jack DeVoe, who's mentioned in Al Martin's book, Iran-Contra, the conspirators, he bought a building off of Colorado Boulevard that Millman owned. And he was a big drug dealer flying drugs into Miami. He bought the building. And then a year later, they transferred it to another corporation Millman had, back to his name. Anyway, it's just a revolving door of corruption and evil that we are up against. Now, Nicole.
Yes?
I want to thank you very much for coming on. You have any last input?
I think you're right that we need to pray against the forces that are against God and His people. Because it's so evident still what they want. They want total destruction and total, they want to demoralize us. They want to keep us in a lower frequency, a lower frequency of living, and they gin up all this hatred with the BLM and the Antifa, and we have to win this battle, and I think we will win. I tried to tell you earlier. I think when we talked, I really feel and I really believe that people who went through things, we didn't go through all this for a reason. So I really believe if we buckle down and do our due diligence towards God and His kingdom, we will see a victory.
And prayer.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Now, Charlene, any last words?
Yes. There is something else, because the reason that I am going to speak in church, there's more to the story. Okay, the reason is because the man who baptized me, the pastor who baptized me, his name was Don Branham, and he baptized me on December 29th of 2019, and he passed away not long after he baptized me. So the church sat empty, because without Don Branham, without that pastor, the church couldn't go on. So it just sat there empty. And one day, Stu, I had been real sick from a gas leak in my home.
Yes.
And I was still trying to function, and but I was so close to death. I was so sick. And so one day I was driving down the road, and so this is what happened. So I was driving, and I could feel. So this is part of my speech, and so I want you to keep an open mind, because I was so sick. And I had one foot here on earth and another foot in a heavenly realm, okay? Because I was ready to leave this world. In May, my heart stopped and I stopped breathing. And this was right before that happened. So I know I was in the body of Christ, and I could feel other people there. So please keep an open mind and listen to what I have to say, because we are all in the body of Christ, and if our name is written in the book of life, this could happen to you, and you may be able to feel and have an experience like this. And you may be able to feel the Holy Spirit move within you. You never know. So I would like for you to hear what happened to me.
Now, that gas attack.
Okay. One day I was driving, I felt something very strange. I could feel a man's hands within mine. I could feel his feet, his head falling forward. I became afraid and wondered, what is it? What is this? And why is it happening to me? As I kept driving, I remembered Bible verses and recited in my mind. The first one was, "Be still and know I'm God." And the second one was, "Do not fear." So I sit still and I drove. I thought, why would God use a person to drive that has a vision disability? He's got to know I can't see worth a poot. I continued to drive and could feel this person falling asleep. His head felt forward and both hands slipped away from the wheel, slipped away from mine. But I could still feel him there, and I was driving for him, and it felt like 100 other hands grabbing the steering wheel to help us both drive. Then I felt 100 feet within mine, helping this sleeping person to hit the brakes and slow down. I then felt the man's driver's seat twist, and his body fell from my seat and his. As he was falling from his vehicle and his, it felt like 100 hands holding on to the sleeping man as he was falling onto the road. What I experienced that day was nothing I experienced before, and I had to tell someone. I stopped by my mother's house and started telling her what I had experienced. I explained to her, I believe somebody had been in a bad car accident, and I know because I could feel it. My mother said, I have a friend that I work with at the food bank that has a son your age, and he was in a bad car accident today. She showed me pictures of him in the hospital and said, his name is Quentin, and the doctors don't know if he'll live through this. When I saw the pictures, I knew it was him, a brother in Christ, fighting for his life. I went home and I prayed for Quentin and his family. Later, I wrote Quentin this poem. My brother in Christ, as I drove, I could feel your head, your hands, your feet, your vehicle within mine. I knew that there were more hands and feet than just yours and mine. I felt your head tilt forward, your hands fell away from the wheel, and all I could do was sit very still. I felt your door come open, your seat turned sideways. I felt you fall from your seat and mine. How could I have driven for you for so long? How was it that you could not hold on? I told my mom about what I felt that day. The experience of a young man's hands and body sitting solid within mine. Mom showed me the pictures of a young man that had been hurt. The accident was bad, she said. I'm glad to say that you're alive. Who would have thought your mother knows mine? Her pictures revealed your hands, and I knew it was you fighting for your life. This is my brother in Christ. Jesus has not let go, and together our brothers and sisters will stay. There is no telling how many Christians Jesus will help throughout this day. It is completely normal for someone to feel the Holy Spirit at some point in their walk with God. It's important to remember that the Holy Spirit is God, and His desire is to reveal Himself to us. He may choose to do this in a subtle way or in a not so subtle way. The Bible is full of instances where people experience the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. There are many manifestations when it comes to feeling the Holy Spirit, but remember, regardless if you feel something or not, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is always with you and He'll never leave you. So that's part of my speech, and that was my experience. That's what happened. And so what ended up happening was I met this boy after he came out the hospital. I took papers over to him I wrote the poem and I took it to him, and then I took some disability papers over to him, and I got to know Quentin. And I ended up telling him later, because I ended up telling him later about the church. And he said, oh, he said, because I'm so glad you told me. He said, because I was looking for a church to preach in. I've been studying to be a preacher. So now Quentin is preaching in the same church where Pastor Don Branham baptized me. It was supposed to happen.
Years later.
In 2019, I was baptized there. And I think it was 2021, somewhere between that is when Quentin had gotten the church. And so it happened pretty quick after Don Branham had passed away. It was pretty quick that Quentin ended up in that church. And he healed from his accident really fast. They weren't even expecting him to live. But, and this is the body of Christ. This is what happens in the body of Christ. He is in a church where people were holding on to him because they are sitting in the body of Christ. And in what I have written here, I'm explaining to the people that are sitting in his church right now, they were holding on to him and they didn't even realize. They had no idea.
You know, the churches, Charlene, are so dead in Christ, many of them, because I've attended several of them, you know, Christians that I've come to know and so forth, and asked me to come to their church, and you hear the same old thing. I mean, the preachers today, the so-called preachers, are so bold. They say, oh, you know, they pass a plate for contributions before they even give their speech, and then they pass it again. And then it's, oh, come up here if you need prayer, I'll pray for you. And then they push them backwards and someone catches them. Supposedly they're getting the Holy Spirit. It's all fake. It's so fake, it's unbelievable. Now, I believe that if you're part of a church, part of a congregation, hey, if someone asks for prayer, anybody that's got the Holy Spirit, go up and pray over them. You don't need the preacher to pray. Who is he? Some holy man? You see all this garbage on TV? It's unbelievable how dead they are in Christ. And I'll tell you a quick story about that, because I think I need to, but I had some people that I got acquainted with in Las Vegas, and he got on a crack pipe. Here they were attending a church, and he gets on a crack pipe, and his wife, she's passing by my place one day where I was living in a little condo, and she passes by, and she says, hi, Stu. I said, how you doing? I forgot her name. Anyway, she tells me about her husband, this Christian, supposedly, gets on a crack pipe and he isn't home and she's wanting prayer and all this. So a friend of mine, Lisa, she was full of the Holy Spirit. We used to have Bible studies in her home. I called her up and she got on the phone with her and she rushed over there a little bit later and we went up and prayed for her. And the first thing God told me to do is to cast out any demonic activity in her house. And so she had a little one about 3 years old, and she had a son about 5 years of age. Little girl about 3, and I said, if there's anything demonic in your bedroom in the way of toys or anything, go get it and bring it out here. They were collecting up all kinds of toys that had horns on them, little dolls and all kinds of stuff, and bringing them out there. And I said, give me a trash bag. So the mother gave me a trash bag. I forgot her first name. She gives me a trash bag, and I start stuffing this in the trash bag. And she said, what are you doing? I said, we're clearing the demonic activity in your house out. Then I asked her, you got anything demonic in your house? In your bedroom? So she goes and gets this doll, and it's made of ceramic. It was a very valuable $350 doll she had since she was a kid, and she puts it up to Lisa's face, and Lisa goes, oh my God, she could see the devil looking right at her through these eyeballs. And so she does it to me. I could see it, and I said, put it in the bag. She goes, oh, I can't do that. I said, yeah, put it in the bag. So finally she put it in the bag. And Lisa's sitting there praying with her as I'm taking the bag out the trash. And I knew the trash was outside, not far from where she parked her car. and her condo that she was living in renting, like I was. So I took it up the other end of the parking lot, and I threw the bag in there, so she couldn't get the demonic activity back in her house. She tells me about 3 days later, their husband's off the crack pipe and he's back home, and wanted to thank me and Lisa for praying with her. Well, then what happens is, she had been attending this church, they both were, and the assistant preacher had the hots for her. So why this guy wasn't around for 6 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it was, going to church with his wife, all of a sudden he shows up at church. Well, they wanted to talk to him on a Wednesday after they showed up at church together. So they asked me, they stopped over and said, "Stu, something's wrong. Go with us over to the church, please." I said, "Okay." So I rode over with them to the church, and they went inside. They wouldn't let me come in the room. They had three or four preachers in there, and they're talking to him, and they expelled him from the church. And so then they, "Hey, come on." They let us out the back door, and I had been sitting out in the lobby praying. So I go out the back door, and they tell me what had happened. I said, "Go to the car. I'll be there in a few minutes." So I went around, got on my hands and knees on the corner of that church, and prayed that God would destroy the evil and get rid of the evil that was in there. Half the congregation left within the first 2 weeks. Half the congregation, because the couple told me about it, that they had gotten a phone call from one of their friends that attended the church, and they told them what happened, and it spread like wildfire. And half the church ended up over at this other church where they had the Holy Spirit and were praying over each other. That's the power of God and prayer, folks. That's what happened.
Right, and it's just like the church that I was in, and it split. The church split. Once the Holy Spirit starts moving in a place, it is going to rock the foundations of wherever it is.
That's right.
Nothing had been moving in that church in years. And I go in and I get baptized. I had been begging to be baptized for years. And that preacher knew. He knew not to baptize me. He refused. He, "Oh, no, no."
Yeah, he was
no,
evil.
"No, I can't baptize you." And, you know, I think he was afraid to baptize me, because I had the Holy Spirit, and he knew it. He knew.
Yeah, he felt it. He felt it. Now,
he felt it. Yes, he did. And there was another thing that happened to me when I was a little girl and going to church there. As I went early. Every time the doors were open, and one Sunday morning, I had gone to church early. And it was starting to get cold, and they had turned the heat on in the church, and so I was there early, and so I had fallen asleep on one of the pews in the church, and I kept smelling smoke while I woke up, and the whole church was full of smoke, and the only thing that I could see in that church was the big, beautiful stained glass behind the pulpit was a big picture of Jesus, and he was holding a lamb, and that was behind the pulpit and the baptismal pool. But the only thing that I could see in all that smoke was Jesus' eyes, and right in front of me was clear air, and I could see Jesus' eyes, and so, but the whole church was full of smoke, and they called the fire department, and what had happened was the furnace had caught on fire, and they couldn't understand how I didn't die from smoke inhalation. And I told him, I said, "Jesus kept me alive." When I was so small, you know, they said, "Oh, okay, well, that's good." They didn't believe me, you know. I said, but the preacher just looked at me real funny, and after that, you know, I, it, you know, That was before I started crying that Easter Sunday and wanted to be baptized. I think he was afraid of me.
Now, Nicole, you've gone through a lot of similar activity, demonic activity attacking you like crazy. We talked about it in your last show, and you've got the website www.witnessspeaks.com, and I've read over it. I mean, I can tell you're a woman of God, and you've been through hell on earth too, but you're a survivor in Jesus, and you have the Holy Spirit like Charlene has.
Yeah.
Now, you got any last words?
I'm just very blessed that I had the courage to call you up and to tell you the things that are going on in my life. And I'm so happy to meet Charlene. And I hope we can further work together to bring more truth to what's going on in this world. And I am very, very fortunate to just not just to be alive, but I want to be a service to God. And I've made a promise to Him that if He got me out of the mess that I was in, I just wanted Him to use me so I can bless other people. So by meeting you, I can really fulfill that promise. And I want to thank you, Stu, because I tried so hard to contact someone to tell them my story and tell them how it relates to so much what we're dealing with today. And you were the only one that I had success with. So I want to thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I thank you. And I thank God for bringing you to me.
Thank you, Stu, because you know what? You were the only one that listened to me, too. And you know, Nicole, when I first started talking, Stu thought I was nuts. And now he knows that I'm not. So
I know you're not.
Well, I love you, Stu.
I love you.
I love you, too, Stu.
I love you both, too. And either one of you want to close it in prayer?
Sure.
I'll call if you do it. I want you to do it.
Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
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 Well, ladies, the two of you have a good day, and we'll talk, and we're going to do this show about once a week because we got to inform the people, okay?
Yeah.
We've got to make them understand what Jesus is all about if they don't, because I got a pretty good-sized audience. I got a lot of government cyber attackers, too, about 200,000 a month and pretty much shut down, but true listeners, I got a lot of listeners, folks. It's in the hundreds of thousands. And it's been that way since I put my side up. So we're going to continue with the shows. And I want to thank you, Nicole.
Yeah.
And witnessspeaks.com, Nicole and Charlene. I want to thank you both. So you two have a good day.
Thank you so much, Stu.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stu.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.